Let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians tonight. Ephesians. I'd like to complete this thought tonight if I could. It's really been a blessing to me to look at it, think about it. Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter number 1, but we're going to take our text verse in chapter number 3. That's where we've been doing a kind of a study through the book of Ephesians that was birthed in our heart out of these verses in chapter number 3. Chapter number 3 of the book of Ephesians, the Bible said that Christ, in verse 17, may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Here's our text. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Been talking about the thought of glory in the church. And we've been looking in Ephesians chapter number 1, and we started out and we got real excited about what God has done for us, and we begin to study through the chapter concerning the blessing. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He's done so much for us. He's chosen us. He's blessed us. He's predestinated us. The Word of God said He made us accepted. He's redeemed us. He's forgiven us. And so on in chapter number 1. And then the Spirit of God spoke to my heart after I concluded several Wednesday nights there talking about the blessing. And He said, you missed the main part. The main part in chapter number 1 is not the blessing, but the blesser. The one that gives out the blessings. And I do believe in our lives, if we're not careful, we're human, that we will miss the blesser. Early this morning, I don't know exactly why, but time to time, I guess I subscribe, because when Brother Jim uploads the videos from the services, they come up. But for whatever the reason, I had a singing video come up. And that video was Charity, and Hannah was singing the lead on the song. What was the name of the song, Miss Eve? It's Under the Blood, the song that Brother Fletcher wrote, Oh, Praise His Dear Name. Charity was singing, and Tanita was playing the guitar, and Miss Laura, I think you were singing too, as well as playing the piano. And I looked at that, and In April. I'm not sure now. I have to look back at my phone. But in 2020, there was 4 people standing up here, and 2 of them were mothers. In 2022, those same 4 people, all 4 of them are mothers. You say, Pastor, why did you mention that? That blessed me. Say amen. It's a blessing, amen. The children are heritage of the Lord. And I thank God for that tonight. But what I want to look at tonight, we've looked at different things here as far as the blesser. And the last time we were together, we talked about His good pleasure. You key in on the word His in chapter number 1, and you're keying in on the blesser, the one that gives the blessing. The Bible said, every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And what I want to look at tonight is His glory. Notice what the Bible said here. We're talking about glory in the church. But the Bible said in verse number 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. If you drop down to verse number 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. If you look at verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Beloved, it's a blessing tonight to think about the glory of God. We've talked about His blood. We've talked about His will. We've talked about His good pleasure. But tonight, I'd like to spend just a few moments with you tonight and talk about His glory. The message is going to be broken down into three major areas. The Bible talked about Him getting glory in the church. He ought to get glory in the church, number one, because of what He's done, number two, because of what He's doing, and number three, because of what He's going to do. And I want to show you that in the text tonight. Thank God tonight, God has done something in my life. But thank God tonight, God is doing something in my life. And thank God tonight, God is not finished. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, why will He perform it until that day? Because on that day, He will perfect it. He'll no longer need to perform it, but we'll be just like Him. And what a blessing that's going to be. Let's talk about His glory for just a moment. First of all, I want you to see the work of salvation. That's what that He has done. If you look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 6 and 7, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom, I want you to look at these two words, we have. This is not we had, this is not we will have, but this is we have right now. Thank God, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, not that you will have, but that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. The Bible said it like this, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Oh, I'm glad, listen, that I am His. And I'm glad that He is mine. Amen. And the Word of God teaches that. So we see the blesser in this first part of His glory in the work of salvation. I want you to see something tonight. First of all, in this first part here, that God's glory is imparted to us. First of all, I'd like to just by way of introduction, I'd like to give you something tonight that I hope and I pray will be a blessing to you. Turn to Isaiah chapter 42 for just a moment. Isaiah chapter number 42. For many years, I did not know this. I knew Isaiah, but I didn't know John 17. Isaiah chapter number 42. Listen to what the Word of God said in verse number 8 down through verse number 12. God said, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So if you read that in the context, God is saying there's not going to be another God with my glory. Amen. There's not going to be a graven image with my glory. He said, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Now, if you'll think about that in the light of John 17 in just a moment. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Who is that's singing the new song? I tell you who it is. It's those that's been lifted up out of that horrible pit. It's those whose feet have been placed on a solid rock, and God has put a new song in their heart. Even praise unto our God. Sing unto the Lord a new song, His praise from the end of the earth. You go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles, the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages of Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord. That's what the Bible said. And declare His praise in the islands. A lot of people take that verse right there where I just never read, and they'll say, God's not going to give His glory to another. I tell you, we need to be careful, beloved, to read the Bible in its context. God's not going to give His glory to a dead God. That's right. God's not going to give His glory to an idol image. That's exactly right. But I want to show you something in John chapter 17 that I hope will be a blessing to you. It ought to humble us tonight, amen, to understand and know what God has said as Jesus is praying in John chapter number 17. This is actually the Lord's Prayer. Most of the time the model prayer is called the Lord's Prayer. But this is Jesus praying to the God of heaven. Notice here, if you will, Beloved, the Bible said in verse number 21 that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Listen to me tonight. I mean this tonight. We that are saved, every one of us, have God in us. The Spirit of God is dwelling in our bosom tonight. You say, Pastor, when are we going to have revival in our land? I'll tell you when. When that God that's in us gets on us and His glory begins to shine in our lives. Notice what the Bible said here in verse number 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, that's what Jesus said to the Father. He said, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. That's a humbling statement tonight, to think that the God of glory sent His Son to purchase our redemption on the cross of Calvary, that you and I, beloved, could have the glory of God in us. That's why the Bible said, let your light so shine before men, that men may see your good works. But watch this now. They don't glorify you. They glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's the glory that we need on us. We need that feeling tonight that the Bible spoke of there in the book of Ephesians. The Bible is talking about here, if you notice these two words, we have. We have. That's right now. We have. His glory has been imparted to us tonight. We have. Not we had, not we will have, but we have tonight the God of heaven living on the inside of us. I want you to notice tonight a text, just to give you a couple of examples tonight. And the Lord said unto Moses in Exodus 34, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord. I picked up on something here that I didn't think about. You remember Jesus in the wilderness is tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. And for those 40 days and 40 nights, you know what got him through? It is written. It is written. It is written. That's how he stood up to slew foot. Say amen. And I'm telling you tonight, you think about what Moses went through. 40 days and 40 nights, he didn't eat bread, he didn't drink water. He wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in Moses' hand, when he had come down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Let me say something to you tonight. When we get in the glory, beloved, it's not supposed to be about us saying, looky here, I'm in the glory. We don't even know it. But others are going to know that we've been in the glory and we're reflecting His glory. Watch what the Bible said. When Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken to him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. According to the Word of God, we can be an answer to Jesus' prayer. The Word of God said, the glory which thou hast given me, Jesus said, I've given them. We need to let the glory that's on the inside of us as believers come to the outside that others may see. I saw Brother Ephraim at the hospital today, Brother Steve. And, you know, between Brother Ephraim and Brother Steve and Brother Coulter, all these men, come on, help us do this. And Brother Ephraim said, would you like to volunteer? I said, would you like to pastor a church? Amen.
Listen, I believe with all of my heart, Brother Ephraim has the glory of God on him. I asked him to get a haircut, Brother Steve. I'm telling you, his hair had to be at least a 16th of an inch long. He was looking like a hippie for sure. Amen. What a blessing to run into that dear man of God. We see the work and the of salvation, and the glory of God is imparted to us, and we ought to be excited about what God has done. Look at Acts chapter 6 for just a moment. You say, Pastor, that's over in the Old Testament. Let's look at an example in the New Testament. Acts chapter number 6, a godly, spirit-filled deacon by the name of Stephen. The Bible said in verse number 8 of chapter 6, and the Bible said, and Stephen, full of faith and power, he did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And I thought that was interesting. The very one they're accusing him of speaking against is the very one that God said was shining, amen, with the glory of God on his face. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses. Almost sounds like the United States government, don't it? Which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered unto us. Look at this with me, verse 15. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that Stephen just didn't have God in him. Stephen had God on him. Say amen. And the council understood that this spirit-filled deacon had God on him. Amen. They might not have understood what was going on, but they knew this. There was something different. Hey, I can think back when I was lost for those 27 years, Brother Bob, when I encountered person after person after person, some in my family, some in the house of God, some on the workforce. I knew they had something I needed. They had something shining on them that I knew nothing about. And a better way to word it, they had someone shining on them that I did not know in the free pardon of sin. We see his glory imparted to us. I want you to see this secondly. His glory is important to us. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, this is what he's doing. What he has done is redemption. It's salvation. What he is doing is sanctification. You see, he's still working on me. He's still working on you if you're a believer. Brother Don has been preaching now almost 55 years, and he'd be the first to stand and say, every time I read that book, he's still working in my life. And he's going to keep on working. Amen. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, please. I want to show you this work that is important. Not only is it imparted to us, the glory of God, but it is important to us as God's children. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. I want to read in verse number 18. I'll read verse 17 as well. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. What are we looking at? The glory of the Lord. What's God doing? He's changing us into that same image. The Word of God said this, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That ought to thrill you and I tonight. Let me ask you something tonight. Has anybody disappointed the Lord lately? Has anybody disappointed yourself, as you disappointed the Lord, if you disappointed somebody that you love, well, listen, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Because if you're born again, He started a work, and He's going to continue the work. And one day He's going to finish the work that He started in you, that He started in me. I, walking across the parking lot years ago, that was before I became so good looking. This guy, he put his arm around my neck, Brother Preston, and what an encouragement he was. He said, "You know, you're ugly." That's what he said. I've been saying for years, people can't tell the difference between a man and a woman. It's easy. Man, ugly. Woman, pretty. Amen. I mean, it's simple. He said, "You're ugly." I said, "I want you to do me a favor, brother." He said, "What's that?" I said, "I want you to come and see me in my new home." I said, "You'll never say that again. I'm going to be just like Jesus." Amen. You'll never say that again. We see the work in God's glory. We see that it's imparted to us. We see that it's important to us. And beloved, listen to me. I believe this with all my heart. There's not enough emphasis in our Sunday school classes. There's not enough emphasis in the pulpit. Brother Steve, we put the emphasis on getting somebody to Christ, getting them to Calvary. But beloved, listen, that is not where the work ends. That's where the work just begins. God wants to do a work in our hearts and in our lives. He wants to sanctify us. You could preach a whole message on that. But I want to go on to the last thing in the message tonight. His glory is imparted to us. I hope you'll agree with me on that. If you don't, then you're not agreeing with the Bible. I've done read it to you right here in the Word of God. God, He's not going to give His glory to some dead god or some idol image. But when He saved you and I, He put, listen, we call Him the third part. I didn't say it. We call Him the third part of the Godhead. But that does not mean, beloved, that He's any less important than the Son, any less important than the Father. Beloved, the Holy Ghost came in. The Bible said He sealed us. That's what the Bible said right there in Ephesians chapter number 1. Notice what He said there in Ephesians chapter 1. I believe it was verse number 14. No, it's verse number 13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Beloved, God's already determined. I want to show you some things tonight. We've talked about the work of salvation and the work of sanctification. We've talked about the work that's imparted to us, the glory that's important to us. But I want you to see the glory that will be perfected in us. I want you to talk to you just a moment tonight about the work of glorification, because that's what He's going to do. I'm not there yet. I'm awaiting the redemption of the body. You see, I won't have to worry about this gentleman that I carry with me every day, whose first name is Arthur and his last name is Idas. Some mornings, Brother Steve, my hands don't even want to work right. I notice that, listen to me, I'm not after a pity party, but just picking up a cup of coffee, the pain that goes through these fingers sometimes, not all the time, but I just wonder, how much worse is it going to get? I get depressed, Brother Wayne, if I think about it like that. What I need to wonder is how much better is it going to get? Amen. The best is yet to come for the children of God. Amen. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise and cease the everlasting prize. Shout while passing through the air. Farewell, farewell. Sweet hour of prayer. Let me give you this tonight. It's what He's going to do as far as we're concerned. It's future. But I want to give you something tonight. As far as He's concerned, this ought to bless us, Brother Junior. It's done. You say, Pastor, how can you say that? Go to Romans chapter 8 with me for just a moment. Romans chapter number 8. The Word of God said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow. He also did predestinate to become conformed to the image of His Son. Let me just give you a little simple statement about predestination. It has nothing to do with a sinner. That's where people get all messed up. Say amen. Predestination has everything to do with the child of God, with that one that's been redeemed by the blood of Christ and sealed by the Holy Ghost. God is already predestined, already determined. Watch what He said. Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. You see, glorified, that's not something that's future, Brother Steve. In the mind of God, it's done. It's already done. He's already determined it. The work of glorification that's perfected in us for you and I, it's what He's going to do for Him. It's finished. It's already done. Listen, in God's mind, it's done. But in my body, it's undone. Precious people, right here in this church, God only knows what's going on in their body. Many of them, not just a few, God only knows what's going on in that mind. This flesh, beloved, is leaving here one day, one way or another. But I want you to know, God said, listen, just wait. I've got something worth waiting for, waiting on you. In our body, it's undone. You say, Pastor, where did you get that? Go back to Romans chapter 8 for just a moment. Romans chapter number 8 for just a moment. The Bible said here in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of Him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Oh, beloved friend, we don't believe in soul sleep, but we do believe this. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I don't know, listen, I can't explain it. Don't ask me to. But I do know this. The rich man, when he lifted his eyes in hell, he knew who Lazarus was. And he knew where Lazarus was. He knew who Abraham was. I don't know how you know while we're waiting on the redemption of the body, but there's some kind of identification. Sad man, I know this, beloved, there's coming a day when we'll have a new body. One like unto the Son of God. He's going to change our vile body and give us that new body. That's what He's going to do. Beloved, until... Let me show you. The Bible said we have in the book of Ephesians. The Bible said we all in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 in the work of sanctification. But look at the word until in verse number 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. See, God has already purchased us. He's already purchased the church according to the book of Acts. But beloved, we're waiting that redemption of the body. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14, it's the earnest of our inheritance. Look at with me in Hebrews chapter 10 for just a moment. I'm trying to hurry. We need to have a little business meeting here, But I want to get through this tonight. It's an awesome thought. Hebrews chapter number, let's see, I want to look at chapter number 10. I don't know what chapter I said, but I want to look at chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 35. The Bible said, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience." You know what the church needs tonight? We don't need to be discouraged. We just need to wait on God. Amen. And we need to occupy till He comes while we wait. The Bible said here, "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Oh, beloved friend, the Bible said, until then, the songwriter said, my heart shall go on singing. Until then, listen, go with me to the book of Revelation, and I'll try to close out tonight. Revelation chapter number 21. I caught something here today as I was looking at this again. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 21, for the sake of time, I'll start reading in verse number 3. "I heard a great voice out of heaven." Let me just say this to you. I'm not trying to add to or take away from the Word of God, but anytime you hear His voice, it's a great voice. There's not a greater voice in creation than the voice of our God. I'm praying tonight somebody will hear His voice in this service. Jesus said, "Come unto me." Oh, happy day when God the Holy Ghost made that personal to me. He said, "Come unto me." You've tried and you've tried and you've tried. Some of these bumper stickers say, "Try Jesus." You'll never be born again trying anything. You're going to have to trust Jesus. You're going to have to come just like a little child would jump into his daddy's hands. Read an illustration years ago where the child was in a burning building and the smoke was boiling and the daddy was saying, "Honey, jump, I'm right here." And the youngin said, "Daddy, I can't see you." He said, "No, but I can see you." When we can't see Him, thank God He's looking on us. Until, the Bible said here, God Himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I think this is worth waiting for, don't you? There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, no more pain. The former things are passed away. He said, "Behold, I make all things new." Right, for these words are true and faithful. Watch this now. Go down to verse 10. "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of God, out of heaven from God." He showed him the Lamb's wife in verse number 9. Look at verse number 11. Having what? I'll tell you something. God's people, we need to be getting adjusted to His glory. Because we're fixing to step off into it. Say amen. Brother Mays was preaching years ago. Brother Bob and Brother Mays said, "I'm going to wait on some of you Baptists right inside the gate." He said, "When you kick up your heels and shout, glory! I'm going to say, I told you that good all along, and you wouldn't listen." That's what he said. I loved Brother Mays. I think anybody that knew him loved him. If you didn't, there's a problem, and it wasn't with Brother Mays. He loved God, and he preached the Word of God. Amen. His Bible said, having the glory of God. And would she see something? And her light was likened to a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone. Go on down with me now to verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Look at verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, nor of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. There's only one thing that's going to lighten this church. There's only one thing that's going to lighten this community. And that is the glory of God. When the Bible said, let your light shine, Brother Gary, you and I in and of ourselves have no light to let shine. But thank God there's one living in us. Oh, happy day when I learned about the moon. I didn't study much in school. I made grades good enough to get one of them certificates when I went in the 12th grade. Amen. It said I graduated. But I didn't know that the moon wasn't lit up. I didn't know that it didn't light itself up, that all it was a reflection of the sun. And there's not a one of us that can light ourselves up. All we can do is get in His presence and be a reflection of the sun. How many's ever seen an eclipse? Stayed up a little while or something and watched a lunar eclipse. You know what causes that? The earth comes between the sun and the moon. And it gets dark. And I'm going to tell you what we need to do as God's people. As Bible Way Baptist Church, we need to get the earth out between us and the sun. Say amen. That we might be a reflection of the sun. The world will choke out the light. And others won't be able to see. Watch this now. The Bible said, and the glory of God did lighten, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. All I'm trying to get you to see is heaven is glory upon glory upon glory. It makes you want to stop and say glory, don't it? Amen. Glory to God in the highest. That's what they said when Jesus was born. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You say, Pastor, when is this going to happen? I don't know. I don't know. You say, Pastor, how is this going to happen? I know. Let me show you. In verse number 12 of chapter 22, these are red letters. Jesus is speaking. He said, and behold, I come quickly. That's how it's going to happen. I believe there's a lot of people living in this world, Brother Steve, that think, well, you know, if I know I'm about to die or if I know Jesus is about to come, I'll get right with God. That's dangerous. Dangerous. He's coming quickly. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Watch what the Word of God said in verse number 20, and I'm finished. He which testifieth these things saith, surely, you can put her down, buddy. I come quickly. That's how Jesus is coming. Tonight, if you don't know Him, you're missing the best part of life. The part of knowing that your sins are forgiven. Knowing that when He comes quickly, whether it's in the daytime or the nighttime, whether I'm awake or whether I'm asleep, He's going to take me with Him. That's the blessing. His glory tonight, it's imparted to us. It's important to us. But one day, it's going to be perfected in us, the children of God. Let's bow for prayer for just a moment.